Acts chapter 2, starting with the 17th verse. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, there is your women's liberation movement. God is the one that sets you free. None other can. Hallelujah. And upon my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will shew wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And I'll read the same verse that he closed his passage with. And it shall come to pass that whosoever, makes no difference who, shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to use for a subject this Sunday afternoon the last revival. The last revival. I will preach some things today that really I haven't wanted to preach. I have no desire to preach them. I have found myself in the unenviable position the past few months of God laying things on my heart that I would not want to engage myself in. And I know that may sound strange to those of you. You may say, Brother Swaggart, I don't understand anyone that would not want to do what God would desire that they do. I suppose that being a human being as I am, we withdraw from controversy. And as an evangelist, naturally, one desires to do things that will make people love him and not to do things that will make people angry. But we must obey God first and foremost. So I will say some things today. I'll be as diplomatic as I know how to be. But I feel like they must be said. The last revival. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, I depend totally and completely upon Thee. I ask, help me to not interject anything in this message that would be of human origin, but save only Jesus. Anoint me to preach, and anoint these people to hear and receive of Thy word. I ask it in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Ghost. And everyone said amen and amen. Nearly 15 years ago, God awakened me early one morning from a deep sleep. It must have been 2:30 in the morning. I strongly sensed his presence and lay there for a good while weeping as I sensed the moving of the Holy Spirit, the power, the presence of God. I could sense in my heart that God was speaking to me and endeavoring to relay something to me. And I know to many of you that watch by television, you hardly understand that type of terminology. No, it's not that we hear voices or something of this nature. It's just an inclination in your spirit that is so heavy. And when you endeavor to walk with God constantly, you learn to heed that still, small voice. And I slipped out of bed, went out to a room that is nondescript, but I use it for a library, to study and to pray. Many times I will get up at night and go out there, but this night I could tell it was something different, something special. I sensed God's presence so mightily, and I stayed there till almost daylight. And one time the power, the Shekinah glory of God came so mightily upon my heart. I remember, and I'll never forget the exact spot, sinking down on my face on the floor. And it was like that my heart would burst. It was like that I could not physically stand it. I think if God's presence had been there for a moment more, I believe that I would have died. I could not have stood it. And God spoke these things to me, some of the things I will not relate. But he told me, and I remember this was nearly 15 years ago, he said, I am going to pour out my spirit on the world, and I've already started. It is going to touch every church, every denomination, from the Catholic to the Protestant to the Catholic. It's going to touch millions as my spirit and power moves over the world. He told me some things that he wanted me to do in respect to that moving of the Holy Spirit. We were then on over 600 radio stations, and now we're on over 700 television stations. And he told me that the mighty baptism in the Holy Ghost was to be a major part of this particular ministry and of his moving over the world. No, nothing would ever take the place of the salvation of souls. That would always be paramount and foremost. But that the indwelling, the infilling of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer must not be undermined, downplayed, or ignored, because that would be the path through which he would move. I know about a year ago, as the crowd started getting larger and larger in the Crusades, and after seeking God constantly, I couldn't seem to find direction, and I thought maybe he would desire that I not place quite as much emphasis on the infilling in the Holy Spirit as I had in the past. And I walked onto a platform, Greenville, South Carolina, and I crusade there. I prepared another message. The moment I walked up, stood by the side of the musicians, the Spirit of God came all over me, and God said, "You change your message. The one you have is yours. Now preach mine." And I do not desire that you cease nor slacken the thrust of the Holy Spirit. If anything, broaden your scope, because this last day outpouring will be a Holy Ghost revival. Now, for nearly two decades, the baptism in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues has been poured out dramatically like a flowing river all over the world. I think one could say without fear of exaggeration that multiple millions have received. It is difficult to go into any church, irrespective of its name or denominational affiliation, irrespective of the pastor or the leader sometimes being bitterly opposed to the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and yet you will find individuals in that congregation, wherever it may be, that are Spirit-filled. It's transdenominational. What I'm talking about tonight or today has absolutely nothing to do with the Baptist or the Catholic or the Assemblies of God or the Church of God or the Four Square, the Methodist or the Presbyterian or Episcopalian. It is pan-denominational. It transcends denominational barriers. It's got nothing to do with denomination. The baptism in the Holy Ghost is for every believer, irrespective of who that believer may be. Now, in the past year or so, we have witnessed a slight waning of this outpouring of the Spirit. I had a man some time ago, one of the great men of God in this world, to ask me the question. He said, "Brother Swaggart, do you really feel and sense that before Jesus comes, the rapture we speak of takes place, that there will be another great move in the world?" Now, of course, I have no idea as to when the rapture will take place. To be frank with you, I'm looking for him at any moment. I believe that. But if Jesus tarries, I believe, and I believe God has spoken this to my heart, that the greatest Holy Ghost revival that the human race has ever known, seen, witnessed, or experienced in all of its history is about to take place. I believe that. I believe this revival is going to be so cataclysmic that it's going to even shake the Kremlin. I'm not meaning that communistic, atheistic leaders will get saved. Don't misunderstand me. I pray they shall. But I'm meaning that millions behind the Iron Curtain that do not have the freedom to worship God as you and I do, that multiple hundreds of thousands of those people are going to be saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. It's going to be so strong that the communistic powers that be will be helpless in the face of it and not know what to do with it. I believe that. I believe what is coming is going to cause churches that are on fire for God, preachers that preach the word. I believe that people by the streams are going to flow into those churches. I believe there is going to be a hunger that is going to infiltrate the hearts and lives of millions as they reach out toward God, knowing that the things of this world cannot satisfy. Now, if I may type this great move that I sense in my spirit and believe is going to happen, I would say it this way, and I will preface it by saying this. At the same time, there is going to be a great falling away. Hundreds of thousands, maybe one could say millions, are going to look for teachers with itching ears. They will turn their back upon the faith once delivered unto the saints. go the way of darkness and lose their way and lose their soul, and it will be like two rivers running side by side and yet in opposite directions. But one river will flow with the power of God, for those that hunger shall be filled. And I believe that the last great revival, the great charismatic move, if one would like to terminalize it, going back to old Jewish typology, and if you study this Bible as much as I study it, you know that everything that happens is a fulfillment of the old Jewish order of worship of thousands of years ago that have been done away with, but yet God brings them to fulfillment and completion. Jesus died at the same time the Passover was being offered up. The Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost, the great feast day of the Jewish Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover. I believe the last great revival took the body of Christ into the holy place where the seven-pronged candlestick is, the table of shewbread, the bread of the face, the altar of incense standing right before the Holy of Holies. I believe marvelously and miraculously so, the body of Christ came into that glorious place, and millions realized that God was more than just a name. Jesus was more than just an historical figure. And as Francis mentioned in her testimony a moment ago, that Jesus Christ and his great salvation experience could literally live within a person's heart. And living for Jesus was more than just belonging to a church, than being religious, but it was a way of life that would ring with glory in one's soul. They found it. They found it in the Holy Spirit. I believe the next one that's coming, if Jesus tarries, that will be the last one, is going to engulf the globe. And I believe that it's going to take the church, the body of Christ, whomever they may be, into the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant did sit, and the cherubims looked down upon the mercy seat where the blood once a year was applied by the great high priest. And only the great high priest could go in there because man had sinned. But I believe that God, figuratively and spiritually speaking, is going to roll back. He already did it at Calvary. But spiritually, he's going to roll back the veil. And the body of Christ is going into a deeper walk with God, a deeper place with God. For he said, in the last days, I will pour out of my spirit, not just on a few here and there and over yonder, and mercy drops round us are falling, but he said, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Now, what are we seeing today? What I have basically said will arouse little or no controversy. Most Christians would say, thank God. We are looking today at the scope of the moving of God around the world. And I take most seriously the responsibility that God has given this humble, unworthy ministry. And I can say before God, and He hears every word I say, I love every church. I don't care what it is. I can say it before God, I love the Baptists just like I love the Assemblies of God. I love the Assemblies of God just like I love the Methodists. I love the Catholics like I love the Presbyterians. I have no favorites in my heart. God knows that He hears what I say. Because I believe when God looks down, He doesn't see Baptist or Catholic or Methodist or Assembly of God or Four Square or Nazarene. But I believe He sees His children that are bought and washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's what I believe He sees. I believe that God is somewhat, what terminology can I use? Sickened at religious hierarchy and denominational structure. No, I'm not opposed to denomination, and I'm not saying it's wrong to belong to a denomination. I belong to one. I'm ordained in a particular church. I love it. But the bigger that denominational hierarchy gets, most of the time, instead of it aiding and abetting the move of God, it hinders and stops the flow of the Holy Ghost in the world. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 13 and 33, it's a little simple statement there. He talks about a woman, and in this instance, whereas many times the pronoun woman refers to purity, tenderness, compassion, and love, here in this 13 and 33, it refers to evil. And it talks about how she leaveneth the lump, and the whole lump becomes leavened. In other words, that leaven is corruption. And what Jesus is saying here, He's saying that in the last days, most of organized religion, now this won't set well or sound good, but it's the truth. Most of organized religion, not that God is opposed to organization, He is not. So understand what I say. Most of organized religion will be corrupt, will be corrupted little by little, as Satan has sown many tares over and over again until it's rotten, dirty. I know what I'm talking about. By and large, the religious denominational structure in the United States and the world is spiritually bankrupt. I want to say it again. By and large, the religious denominational structure in the United States and the world pertaining to Christendom is spiritually bankrupt. Why are they bankrupt? Many and varied reasons. It doesn't mean that there aren't good churches in their midst. There are. Doesn't mean there aren't good preachers in their midst? There are. Doesn't mean there aren't many, many wonderful, precious, dedicated Christians in their midst? They are. But the point I make, even though it will not be popular, That which God is doing is not tied to denominational, religious, hierarchical structure. It is a flow of the Holy Ghost. And I don't care how big the religious denominational structure is, if it denies the power of the Holy Ghost, God will pass it by, because that is the way the Holy Ghost is moving, the flow of the Spirit. Now that's pretty rough, isn't it? Doesn't mean it's going to dry up and die and go away. It's not. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm talking about the mainstream of the move of the Spirit. The flow of the power of God. Now that makes people angry, because when you meddle with their churches, you have gotten yourself into a peck of trouble. You're looking at one that knows. But you see, I'm not running a popularity contest. God is not running a Mr. America popularity contest. I am sent to say, thus saith the Lord. That's my business. That's what God has called me to do. If every Catholic in the world gets angry with me, I've got to tell them the truth. If every Baptist gets mad at me, I've got to tell them the truth. If every Pentecostal gets angry with me, I've got to tell them the truth. If every church member of the world gets angry with me, I've got to tell them the truth. It's really not my business whether you like me or not. I want you to. Naturally, I'm human. I feel good when you come up and put your arms around me and say, I love you. I'm a human being. I respond to that. And I ache inside whenever somebody says, I'd rather see you dead. But when you look at this Bible, I'll ask you some questions. How many popularity contests did Jeremiah win? What happened to Isaiah? What happened to the Hebrew children? Daniel would have been eaten by lions if it had not been for the power of God. Peter died on a cross, hung upside down. You take the blood out of this Bible, there's nothing left. And you see, Satan gets angry when you meddle with his religious business, because he's in the religion business. Satan is. He wants you that watch me by television, you hear, he wants you to attend churches where there is a form of godliness. A form of godliness. They talk about God. God is plastered everywhere. Jesus is spoken of, but they deny the power thereof. That's the kind of church Satan wants you to go to. I can take the position. I'm just going to say the things that'll make no ripples on the water. And this old boat will sail smoothly. And everybody will love me. Or I can look beyond my petty wants and desires and look at your soul. And as a preacher of the gospel laying on my face before God with a hot tear stinging my cheeks, I can preach you the truth no matter what it cost, no matter the price tags. And here's the truth I've got to preach to you. If you are attending a church, and a church is very important, it is very, very important where you go to church. The preaching that you sit under. The ministry that you adhere to. The church you put your little children in. That which you observe if you are going there just because your grandparents and your parents went there, you're in trouble. (Clears throat) You see, that's the path of least resistance. Because if you're attending a church that's not a Spirit-filled church, now you hear me. You're not going to hear this preached very much. You're not going to hear it because it doesn't set well. People get angry. Preachers write me. I know I get their letters. I've answered more priests and preachers in the past few months than I have the rest of my life put together. They don't like it. But I've got to tell you the truth, because one day God Almighty is going to say, Jimmy Swaggart, and I've got to step up before him. And he's going to judge what I preached and judge what I told the people and judge what I preached to you and judge what I told you by television. He's going to judge every word that I say. And because I know that it's going to cause controversy and some of you are going to get angry, some of you are going to write me and say, we'll never send you another dollar. Now you laugh, but put yourself in my shoes. I've got to have $300,000 a day. A day. Every day. Every day. Not just two or three days a year, but every single day. And when I go to preach something, Satan says, you're going to lose some of your supporters when you say this. One little lady wrote me the other day, she said, how in the round world, how in the name of all that is holy, can you sit down to a piano and sing a song that'll make me weep tears and then get up and preach and make me so mad I want to kill you? You see, I'm not concerned about what kind of car you drive. I don't care. I could not care less. I don't care if your shoes are Tom McCann's or Hart Schaffner and Mark's. No, that's a suit, I think. I don't care. But I am concerned about what you believe, and I'm concerned what's in your soul, and I'm concerned what's in your heart. And if you're attending a church, I don't care how stained glass the windows are, I don't care how big it is, I don't care how beautiful or how small or little that it is, and that the power of God's not in that church, and the Holy Ghost is not in that church, and the glory of God is not in that church, get out of that church and find one where Jesus is preached and the glory of God is real and the Holy Ghost has his way and lives are changed and souls are saved and sick bodies are healed and believers are filled with the Holy Ghost. Now that's the most important thing that some of you Christians have ever heard in all your life. Where do I go? I don't know. Ask God. You ever thought about that? Ask him. Now I'll warn you. When you really start out to have everything God has, it's not going to be smooth sailing. I just want to warn you. I just want to warn you. All of hell is going to break loose. One brother came up to me some time ago and said, Jimmy Swaggart, and he's one of the most renowned, famous sports figures in the world at that, in the year back some past. He said, when I was chewing my plug tobacco, telling dirty jokes, drinking my booze and smoking my joints, and running with every skirt I could find in the country and being unfaithful to my wife and family and salting the air with purple language,
I was welcomed in my church and given a Sunday school class and patted on the back and pronounced the greatest. But he said, in the last few months, Jesus Christ has saved my soul, filled me with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. I've fallen in love with my Bible. I've quit drinking. I've quit smoking my joints. I've quit cursing. I'm faithful to my wife and family. I love Jesus like I've never loved him before. And guess what? They've told me to leave the church. We don't want you. We don't want you. Am I talking about a cult? No. Am I talking about some off-brand religion? No. I'm talking about those that hold religion high. Churches on every corner, but they've denied the power thereof. One preacher told me the other day, Jimmy Swaggart, if I receive the Holy Ghost, I know it's real. I've satisfied my heart. I know the scriptures. I've studied it. I know it's real. I know it's for me. I know I ought to have it. But if I receive it, I'll get kicked out of my church and I'll lose my pension. We got some preachers that need to get kicked out of the churches and need to lose their pension and need to get on fire for God. God help me. All right. Now, you see, the devil tried to caricature the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When my wife mentioned a moment ago that she'd heard a lot of things about the Pentecostal outpouring and none of it was good. And that's right. He characterized it in every ridiculous, utterly absurd, ludicrous manner in which hell could ever perpetrate. And some Pentecostals helped him. Am I right? I'm right. But in spite of the devil, it has grown. I'm not extolling or prompting or promoting a certain church. I'm just talking about the flow of the Spirit. That's the important thing. I'm trying to get that across to you. If the church you're attending is a Presbyterian church and is full of the Holy Ghost, thank God. Hallelujah. But it has grown by the proverbial leaps and bounds. Why? It has flowed all over the world. Why? I'll tell you why. Because as a man told me the other day, he said, you know, I got to the place, Brother Swaggart. He said, I love the Lord, but said, where I attended church, it was nothing there. Nothing. Oh, the building was big. It was a lot of activity. You getting me? You're starting to tune in on me now, aren't you? Lot of activity. Committees here. Committees there. This group, that group. This one going, that one coming, that one sitting down, and that one rising up. A lot of activity. But my soul was empty. And he said, I thought, Jesus, if this is all it is, if living for you is just going to church on Sunday morning, walking in the door and sitting there and going to sleep while the preacher preaches, and I go home and turn on a TV set and that's about the whole thing. He said, I'm quitting and I'm never going back again. I'm going to get on my face, and if there is anything else that will really make you real in my heart, I want it. And he said, Jimmy Swaggart, Jesus Christ baptized me in the Holy Ghost. There's your answer. There's your answer. Millions were thirsty, were hungry for living water. All right. Now, those of you by television that are still with me, Let's look at the Pentecostal move. It's got some problems too. They call it charismatic, full gospel, Pentecostal, spirit-filled. It's not God's problems, it's our problems. It's nothing wrong with what God is doing. It's wrong with some of the people. This is not going to set too well. I was motel room some time ago. Flicked on the television set, and an ad for a church service came on. It's a Pentecostal church or a full gospel, call it what you like. They were advertising this country western singer. I knew it. I knew him. I didn't know him from hearsay. I knew him. He was appearing in nightclubs, honky-tonks, singing all of that trash that goes along with that ungodly, filthy, beggarly element. And now he's promoted as being in this church on this Sunday morning. Nightclub Saturday night, church Sunday morning. And this in a Pentecostal church. Somebody said, I don't know what's wrong with that. Well, I'll tell you, it's a lot wrong with it. You don't take uncircumcised Philistines and put them in a holy of holies. You hear me? And our young people are going to hell in a handbasket. And whenever our leaders put up role models, these individuals that already hold great sway and set them up as examples. You hear me? Examples to our young people, then our young people think that they can do the same thing and still live for God. What are we to do with these people? We're to love them, pray for them, be kind to them, be generous to them, do everything we can to bring them to Jesus. But if they so-called come to God and still elect to stay in that rut and that fifth of hell, for God's sake, keep them out of the pulpits as examples to our people. Am I making myself clear? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Keep them out. Well, we'll do it to get a crowd. God, help us. We don't need a crowd that bad. I like the way that old Baptist preacher Vance Havner said it. He said, ladies and gentlemen, why do we have to have some Hollywood movie star to push up the ratings on our telecast or in our churches to boost the crowds? Why do we have to have some fiddler from Timbuktu? What's wrong with the Holy Ghost? When he flows in might and power, men will still come to drink of the water of life freely. Maybe I'm old-fashioned, maybe I'm out of date, but that's the way I see it. I heard of one Hollywood actor just yesterday. He's arrested for drunk driving in Beverly Hills and put in jail, and he was just on one so-called Christian telecast not long ago talking about how good Jesus is. I thank God for anything the Lord's done for him, but don't set him up as an example when he's still in the world. All right. Now that, I'm just playing now. I'm just kind of toying around. Now I'm going to get rough. I'm going to preach now. Too many Pentecostal preachers, too many full gospel preachers, too many so-called spirit-filled preachers that ought to have a standard, that ought to have an example of righteousness, the highest in the world. Too many have no standard at all. None at all. Are you preaching legalism, Jimmy Swaggart? No, I'm not. We have a church in Baton Rouge. It's exploding in growth. We have only one requirement to join it, and that's to be saved. That's all. Nothing else. No long list of rules. Just one thing. Are you serving? Have you been saved? And are you serving Jesus? That is all. That's it. Come to think of it, that's all you got to have to get in glory. Hallelujah. Just be saved by the blood of the Lamb. But as a preacher of the gospel, I have an obligation to you and your children to stand behind this pulpit, whether you like it or not. And preachers, listen to me. Be man enough to stand there, not only in favor of some things, but be against something. What's wrong with us Christians that twiddle our thumbs while there are 10 million alcoholics in this nation and 7.5 million problem drinkers? For God's sake, preachers, you're listening to me by television, get behind your pulpits and tell your people that social drinking is wrong, that we shouldn't do it, that we're saved, that we're examples of righteousness. And too many full gospel preachers don't. Hollywood, and I'm not talking about the town Hollywood, I'm talking about the spirit Hollywood, has become so dirty, rotten, filthy, reprobate. And most of our Pentecostal people, and I'm going to tell you something. I say most, I'll leave that up to God. Many of our Pentecostal people, full gospel people, most of them go to the movies. It's dirty. It is filthy. You know why? You know why? You know why our kids are going and they're listening to the worst gutter filth? You know why they're going, and you know why our daughters are getting in trouble? You know why our kids are getting social diseases, and our daughters are getting pregnant, and our kids are smoking joints and smoking pot? You know why? They learn it from Hollywood. For God's sake, preachers, get behind your pulpits and tell your people, this filth is wrong. Stay out of these places. That may sound old-fashioned and outdated, and some of you may look at me and say, preacher, you belong in another age. You're an anachronism. I don't care. I'm a child of God. I'm a preacher of the gospel. I stand for something. I believe in something. And too many of our Pentecostal preachers don't stand for anything. And I want to tell you something else while I'm at it. There's nobody that believes in the gifts of the Spirit any more than I do. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, gift of faith, working of miracles, gifts of healings, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. But when we forsake the preaching of the word, either to show some old film on Sunday night or so-called gifts of the Spirit, and we quit preaching, we've lost it. The preaching of the gospel is still the greatest power that mankind has ever witnessed or experienced when it's preached under the power of Almighty God. I had a man to write me the other day. He said, Brother Swaggart, and I'm talking about full gospel churches. I'm not talking about others. He said all they're showing is films, night after night after night. Nothing wrong with showing a film once in a while, but he said it's constantly. Don't they preach anymore? You turn on a TV set, I thank God when I get a Baptist preacher or somebody that's preaching. And I'll turn another one on and you got a set that looks like Hollywood. It's supposed to be Pentecostal television. It's an abomination in the eyes of God Almighty. The Pentecostal message is the greatest message in the world, but it's weakened and watered, diluted with that which Satan has inserted in it. When my family came into the great Pentecostal experience, my parents were somewhat like a whole lot of you. They didn't understand the hand waving. They didn't understand everybody praying at one time. They didn't understand everybody raising their hands. My mother thought they were, their elevator didn't go all the way to the top. But they knew they were saved, gloriously, wondrously saved, but they didn't know anything about this Holy Spirit business. My grandmother was the first to receive. And you know, God has a time with us. We're so proud. You know that most of us were so proud. That's what's wrong with most of the denominational world. The reason that God can't move in it, they're so stinking proud. And we Pentecostals are about the same way. God baptized my grandmother. I've got most of you angry now. You're sitting there swelling up. Your old jaw's sticking out. I'm going to love you just the same. You've been sitting there thinking he's talking about my church. All righty. Pride is the problem God has. And I won't take all the time to go into the rudiments of the difficulty, but that's the problem he has with us. Pride, 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 pride. God baptized my grandmother in a Church of God camp meeting. Flat of her back under a mulberry tree. About 1 o'clock at one afternoon, filled her with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Now you'd have to know my grandmother. She was ramrod stiff. I mean, if you had seen her, you would have thought you had seen Queen Elizabeth. Queen Elizabeth could have taken lessons from my grandmother. And you wouldn't picture my grandmother on her back under a mulberry tree outside of a church at 1 o'clock in the afternoon with her hands in the air speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And that's just where I lost most of you. You say, Jimmy Swaggart, I want it to where everything is in order. Have you noticed a graveyard is in order? There is never any disturbance there. And my grandmother, I never saw her in my life, but she was the proverbial spick and span. I mean, I think she cleaned her house in her Sunday dress. Every hair was in place. She stood ramrod straight. She'd have been a man, she'd have been Black Jack perishing. But brother, when Jesus filled her with the Holy Ghost, he emptied her of pride and filled her with his Spirit. Glory. Hallelujah. I'm trying to tell you what I'm talking about. I'm having difficulty doing it, but I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to get you to understand it's not in a denomination. It's not in a particular church. It's not in a particular preacher. But this Holy Ghost experience is from God, and it's for every believer. It's for every assembly of God. It's for the Baptist. It's for the Methodist. It's for the Presbyterian. It's for the Catholic. It's for every individual. And once you get in this river, you'll never be the same again. Never. It's hard to explain it. It's hard to explain it. She came back a genuine, guaranteed, dyed-in-the-wool fanatic. Oh, man, my dad was her son. And she said, you need the Holy Ghost. You don't know what you're missing. It is the greatest thing in the whole world. It's revolutionized my life. It's turned me upside down and really right side up. She said, I love Jesus. And my mother and dad got so angry with her, they forbade me to go back to her house. My daddy said, she is crazy. She's out of her mind. I was 8 years old. And I'd go up. 8 years old, and I'd sat down on the floor like a little cross my legs Indian fashion. And I would pester my grandmother. I called her Nanny. I would pester her until she would tell me, and I would want her to relate to me how Jesus filled her with the Holy Ghost under that mulberry tree at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and she started speaking in other tongues. You know why I wanted it? You know why I would go three times a day? Day after day, and have her tell me the same thing over and over again, and it never got old, was because when I knew when she got to that place to where Jesus at 1 o'clock that afternoon filled her with the Holy Ghost, the power of God would flow all over her and it would go down into me. That's what you need, preacher. That's what you need, priest. That's what you need, deacon. That's what you need, Sunday school teacher. That's what you need, layman. That's what you need. And I'd brace for it. And every time she'd get to that spot, she'd raise her hands and start speaking in tongues, and it would flow all over me. And my daddy grabbed me one morning and said, "If you go back up there, boy, I'm going to whip you." I disobeyed him. I'm not proud of it, but I disobeyed him. The moment he turned his back, I took right off again. But God's got a way of getting you. Some of you have been watching this telecast for months. You started out saying I was crazy. You started out saying I was out of my mind, and now you warmed up, and now I'm just a little bit weak-minded. After a while, you're going to get closer and closer, and if you hang around on this creek bank long enough, you're going to slide in after a while. Glory, 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 glory. And God has a way to get to you. God finally got to my mother and daddy. And I've got to tell you this. I've got to just tickle your fancy for a moment. My mother had made her boast. She'd made her boast. Nobody would ever see her wave her hands. I mean, she had explicitly, emphatically, dogmatically, factually, verbally, vocally made that statement. Be careful what you tell God you won't do. My mother made her statement. She'd seen one of our evangelists dance in the Spirit like some of the folk danced in the Spirit, and one did here to this afternoon. She made her brags, "I will never do that. That is absurd. That is foolishness. I'll have you know." There was a lady that sometimes would get happy and run. And my mother said, "That is the most horrible thing." Now, you say, "Well, Jimmy Swaggart, that's why I don't like all of this." What I'm talking about has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. Nothing. But when you tell God what you won't do, you're about to write the last chapter in that book. One morning, 1943, my parents went to prayer meeting. They'd started getting hungry. When you get hungry for the Holy Ghost, there's nothing else can satisfy. When you get hungry for the living waters, nothing else will satisfy. Nothing else. I was a little old boy. I was playing with Jerry Lee Lewis. He's my first cousin. He and I were playing together that morning. Two or three other little fellows with us. It was about 10 o'clock that morning. We were about two, three blocks away from the church, and all of a sudden we heard somebody holler. Now, I'm a little bit ashamed of this. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a little bit ashamed of it, but I've got to be truthful. It happened. And I remember another little fella named Mac. It's ingrained in my mind. I'll never forget it. Moment by moment, it slowed down, and I'll never forget it. And Mac, his name was Mac Stone. Mac said there's been a car wreck somewhere close to the church. Jerry Lee said, let's go quick and see what it is. I stood there and I was shaking all over. I was 8 years old, and I turned to Jerry Lee and Mac and I said, don't go. It's no need going. They'll have it dragged off by the time we get there. I didn't want to go. I didn't want them to know that whoever was hollering, it was my mama. I knew it was. Glory. Humbi shondre kilababatandai. I knew it was mama. I didn't know what had happened. I didn't know what had taken place. I couldn't understand it. I didn't know what in the world had happened, but I knew it was mama. She'd hollered at me enough. I knew it was mama. And I found out what happened. You see, I know old cold, dry, dead, liturgical, formalistic religion doesn't understand this. You don't understand how you can get so happy. I don't need drugs. I don't need alcohol. There's a thrill that flows through our heart. Mama, that morning, Brother J.M. Kaysen was the evangelist. It's 1943. He picked up his accordion and started to play it. By and by, when the morning comes, and the power fell. Have you ever heard that statement? The power fell. Jerry Lee Lewis's mama she's in glory today, but she was already left the altars, gone back. Power of God hit that little church, and she started down the aisle. God struck her down halfway, and she came up speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Mickey Gilley, every time you turn on your TV set and you see, he's my cousin, you see him singing, he's one of the superstars in country western music. His mother's one of the godless, Holy Ghost filled women you ever met in your life. She's 85 years old today, still on fire for God, and still alert and bright and serving Jesus. I mean it. That morning in 1943, she was kneeling in the corner and the power of God hit her and she started speaking another tongue. She's never stopped. My mama, that had made her boast and her brags. She did the Charleston. The Holy Ghost variety. Thank you. She ran around that church. She did the 100-yard dash in 10 flat. Glory. Never, I didn't see her do it. Never saw her do it again. They just told me about it. Then she knelt at the altar and started speaking in tongues. And I'm closing right now. When her old daddy was dying, 86 years old, Papa, all the family gathered in the room. And my mother prayed for her old daddy for years. He just wouldn't quite make it. And he asked her, he said, sister, pray for me. That's what he always called her. She was a baby of the family. She laid her hand on his head. Started praying for him. In a few moments' time, he said, I see it. I see angels coming up and down the stairway of heaven. And he died singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I fear I've done it badly, but I've tried to tell you, the Holy Ghost is the way. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit.